Good morning. I'm sure that the screen on the board may look familiar. I last year preached on John chapter 8 and Jesus being the light of the world. But as you know, I began a series on the I Ams of Jesus last week. And we're talking about the different sayings that Jesus said about himself. Last week we looked at the fact that he said, I am the bread of life. And so this morning we're going to look at the saying that I am the light of the world. Thankfully, in God's Word, we find so many principles, we find so many teachings that you can preach about 100 lessons or more just on John chapter 8. And so this will actually be my third lesson on John chapter 8. And if you're able to join us again this evening at 6 o'clock, we will have part two of this lesson this evening. In fact, on your handouts, I have it broke down for part one and part two. And so if you're visiting with us, we'd love to have you back this evening at 6 p.m. And obviously, the members are expected to be here to help us to encourage one another and to serve one another and just to pour out our love for one another as we encourage each other as we are on our way to heaven. In John chapter 8, Jesus is, we see in John chapter 7 with the context that the Festival of the Tabernacles is going on. In fact, it is probably the day after it has finished. It was a seven-day celebration. A celebration where the Jews would remember what God had done for their forefathers as they were traveling through the wilderness, and in that memorial they would live in tents for 7 days. And the reason why is because that's what the forefathers had done. That's as God was leading them through the wilderness, they would sleep in tents. If you remember, God through the day would lead them by a pillar of cloud, at night by a pillar of fire. So God was their light and God was their guide and their director in that sense. And so Jesus here, in the context of this festival that is going on, a festival where they would have had many lights bright at night to show the light that God used to guide them, so to speak, we find that Jesus makes the statement that I am the light of the world. Look with me to John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so as God led his people, as God was a light for his people, well, also this is how the Messiah, Jesus, their Savior, was going to guide his people through this dark world. And if you're interested in learning some commentary on John chapter 8, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the lesson that we did on this on our website, as well as the lesson entitled, Who is Your Father?, that we talked about John chapter 8. Because this evening, or this morning, I want to approach this a little differently than I did in those lessons and talk about following Jesus and what it means by following him. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. And so when we're talking about the light of the world, we understand that this world is dark. It's full of sin. It's full of misery and darkness and danger and all of these things. And yet, God sent his Son as a light, the light that was prophesied in the book of Isaiah, in Micah, and other places, that a light would come and the light would shine on this world. And in fact, in John chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, in John chapter 1, John the apostle here writes about this light that was coming into the world. And it's a beautiful passage that he has here in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him, that is in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Look at verse 8. He was not the light, talking about John the Baptist, but came to bear witness about the light. Verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And we know that God sent his Son, and when he sent his Son, spiritual light was shining in this dark world. And Jesus, playing off of what John the Apostle is doing here, there in chapter 1, as well as the prophets in the Old Testament, he talks about how I am the light of this world. I bring light, spiritual light, to this dark world. And he says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to ask the question this morning, do we truly follow Jesus? Do we truly follow Jesus? He says that if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's a couple things in the text I want us to see when it comes to following Jesus. There's other places we could go. We could learn so much in the scriptures. We're not going to cover every little thing this morning that talks about or instructs us on how to follow Jesus. But in the text, we learn some things of how Jesus interacted with his Father and likewise how we need to interact with our Father. But in the text, what I see that shows us what we need to do to follow Jesus is we must not belong to this world. In fact, in verse 23, he says to the Jews here who are questioning him, they're questioning of him of who he is, who his Father is. Why is he making these statements? Why is he talking all of these things? They think he's possessed. In fact, you'll find in some places, even in the end of John chapter 8, they think he has a demon. That's what they think, that he's demon-possessed. Who talks like this? It's crazy talk to them. In fact, even his own family, we learn, consider Jesus out of his mind. And yet, we find here in verse 23, he says to them, those who are arguing with him, you are from below, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. That tells me if I want to follow Jesus, I'm not going to be long to this world. That means every aspect of my life, the way I dress, the way I act, the way I speak, every aspect, my attitude toward things, it's gonna reflect in the sense that I am focused on spiritual things. I don't belong to this world because my citizenship is in heaven. I'm no longer a part of this world. I may live in this world, but I'm not of this world. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. In fact, in the book of John, there are several places where Jesus speaks about his spiritual kingdom and that this world, or his kingdom is not of this world. It's because he is not of this world. It's interesting when we're thinking about the pleasures of this life, the cares of this life. The reason why those things didn't bother Jesus is because his mind wasn't focused on those things. His mind was focused on spiritual things. And then likewise, we have to ask the question, you know, where is my devotion? Where is my attention going to be? Is it going to be on the things of this world, or is it going to belong to the things that Christ belonged to, the things that are not of this world? I was having a conversation with a couple of people this past week about making kingdom decisions. And when we realize that we are a people that do not belong to this world that we live in right now, we're going to be making kingdom decisions. Because remember, we're citizens of the kingdom of Christ or the kingdom of light because Jesus is light. And so when I'm making kingdom decisions, it's going to affect every aspect of my life. I'm going to always seek to make kingdom decisions, whether it's my job, my family, my finances, whatever it may be, I'm going to ask the question, is this what my leader, is this what my Savior, my King would have me to do? Am I making kingdom decisions? Am I making decisions that are in line with God's wisdom and God's Word and His principles? You see, I cannot think like the world. I cannot act like the world. I've got to act like a kingdom citizen. And therefore, I've got to make kingdom decisions. And so there may be some tough decisions I have to make and tough questions I have to ask in my life. You know, decisions that I'm going to make that are going to affect my life. They're going to affect my relationships. But I don't belong to this world. And so people are going to think I'm different. And people are going to think that, that I'm crazy, just as Jesus was thought of to be crazy in many ways. The reason why is because he put the kingdom first. He realized he did not belong to this world, and we need to realize that too. When we get to the point where we fully understand and acknowledge and accept for ourselves that we do not belong to this world, and that we should not allow the things of this world to bog us down, to cause us to divide our interest and our affections when it comes to our Savior, when we choose not to allow this world to be our master, when we choose that we are not going to serve this world, but we're going to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, When we get to that point, when we begin to make those true kingdom decisions, we're going to find that we're truly following Jesus. And I'm going to show that even more so in a minute. But we also, the text tells us, we need to believe Jesus is God's Son. In verse 24, look with me there. In verse 24, he says, I told you, because they ask who he is, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, as I was thinking about this, as I was reading through this, and I was thinking about this point, I was thinking, what is it? Is it necessary for me to tell an audience of believers to believe that Jesus is God's Son? And yet, what Jesus does here is he's telling an audience of people who are not believing in him, and yet they're not accepting the testimony of him as well as his Father. Look at me with me in verse 17. He says, in your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself. And he did so through his teachings as well as his sinlessness and his miracles. Verse 18, I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Remember, God authorized the miracles that he did. He spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, at his baptism, also at his transfiguration. Multiple times, God bore witness about Jesus Christ. They were not accepting the testimony. And we live in a world that many people do not accept the testimony of Jesus as well as God the Father. But look with me to 1 John chapter 5. This is why it's important that we understand that even though we are believers in Jesus Christ, we've got to learn this lesson ourselves, because in 1 John chapter 5, what you find is John the Apostle is writing to Christians who are being led astray, who are being taught that Jesus never really truly came in the flesh, and that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And yet, here in chapter 5 of 1 John, it says, if we receive the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Basically, what John is saying is, if we don't believe in Jesus, then we are calling God a liar, because that is what he says. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I want you to consider how many of your brothers and sisters that you have seen over the years leave the Lord. How many of them have you seen who begin to waver in their faith? You see in their daily lives, they're not serving God. You see them begin to practice different sins. And then, you know, also you have their attendance is shaky. And why is that? Is it because they're not truly believing the testimony? They don't believe in Jesus? Or they begin to fall away? It's kind of like what the writer of Hebrews said, that we can develop a heart of unbelief. We can begin to no longer believe and no longer practice the principles of the Scriptures. And it's because of this deception of sin. And so it's so important when we're talking about following Jesus that not only do we understand that we don't belong to this world, but that we continue to believe the testimony that is within Scripture, that Jesus is the Son of God. And if I want to be right with God, I've got to maintain that belief in him. Because if I maintain that belief in him, then I'm going to maintain my obedience toward him as well. Not only that, he tells us we must not behave wickedly. He says in verse 24, again, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, what he's talking about here is believing that he is the Messiah to come, the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament Scriptures, the prophecies. But not only were they to believe in the testimony of the Scriptures and the testimony that God put forth through the miracles and things of that nature that confirmed this word, but also that belief was to lead them to cease from sin, to stop sinning, to put those things to death in their life. And so he says, I told you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I want us to notice there's more
to faith, there's more to believing in the Messiah than just accepting him as the Messiah, as the Savior, or as the Lord. There's also an aspect of it that when I accept Jesus, that I'm going to stop sinning. I'm not going to behave the way that I used to behave. Why? It's because when I believe in him, I'm also going to believe his word. I'm going to be ruled by his authority in my life because I believe him. Not only do I believe in him, but I believe him when he speaks the things that he says, I believe him. And that's what Jesus shows us by his example. Notice with me in verse 28. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. You see, these Jews who had been going back and forth with Jesus, they would know. I mean, look at all the signs that were around the crucifixion. The earth went dark. Rocks were split. There was earthquake. The veil in the temple was torn in pieces. You had graves that opened up and the saints began to walk around. There were people claiming this truly is the Son of God. Why? Because God made it evident at the cross that they had killed his son. You want to know why it was dark while Jesus was dying on the cross? It's because the light of the world was being pushed out. Being put to death. And God made that evident. He said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, is what he's talking about, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. Jesus respected his Father's authority. We better learn to respect our Father's authority as well. One way Jesus did that is found in verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. Why? He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. I'm going to tell you, if we're not doing the things that are pleasing to the Father, then we are not ruled by his authority. When we speak, if we're not speaking in line with his word, when we act, if we're not acting in line with his word, if we're not complying with his word, with his authority, then we're not ruled by that. We're not governed by that. And that's going to affect everything else. We're going to behave however we want to. We're not going to cease from the sins in our life because we're not ruled by the authority of God. We're certainly not going to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Why? Because we're not ruled by his authority. Why believe in Jesus if we're not going to even allow his authority to reign in my life? And certainly, I'm going to belong to a world, but it's not the world or the kingdom that Jesus tells us that we are in if we're following him. I'm going to belong to this world. I'm going to belong to a different father. Jesus is going to make that statement in the end of John chapter 8 that the Jews here who were carnally thinking their father is not God but is Satan. And they belong to Satan. They are a child of Satan because they act like Satan. And they think like Satan. And they're carnal minded. And their actions are not in line with one who has true faith in God, who is ruled by God's authority. But going back to John chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want us to understand something. To follow Jesus means we will never walk in darkness. Think about that for a moment. That's what he says. That's the promise he makes. And here's the flip side of that. If we are walking in darkness, that means we're not following Jesus. So examine yourself. Do I have sin in my life? Am I practicing sin? Do I have habitual sin in my life that I'm not stopping and I'm not getting rid of those things? I'm not turning to God to help me with that enslavement to that sin that I'm in. Do I have the wrong kind of attitudes in my heart? Just plug in whatever you need to in your own life and examine yourself and think to yourself, you know if you're walking in darkness. You know if you're following the Word of God. Because as we learn from God's will, we understand God's will. And from that point, we can examine ourselves. And we can look into the spiritual mirror, the Word of God, and we can see that God wants us to correct this or improve here or to repent of this. And if we're not doing those things, we're not following Jesus. And he gives us two options. He gives us two choices. We either believe in him. And if we believe in him, we're going to repent of our sins. We're not going to belong to this world. We're not going to behave wickedly. We're going to be ruled by God's authority. Or we're going to die in our sins. You have to understand. what Jesus is saying here. That these Jews, because they would not believe in Him, and people today, people in this audience maybe, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to die in your sins. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. To die in your sins is to be separated from God for all of eternity, burning in hell. A place of darkness. A place of pain and suffering and gnashing of teeth and a place where you're just going to wallow in your sins, and you're gonna think about everything that you did in not following Jesus. You're going to think about all the things that you did that separated you from your God, for the reasons why you chose not to follow Him, because you wanted the pleasures of this world. You decided to walk in darkness, and now you're living in it for all of eternity. Jesus says, you believe in Me, and these things here follow, or you die in your sins. We have to make the decision. Where are we going to stand? Do we truly follow Jesus? Do we have that zeal and that passion that is necessary for following Jesus? And likewise, we find in the Scriptures that in Christ, we are children of light. You see, we need to follow Jesus. That's what He wants us all to do. That's what He calls every sinner to do, is to follow Jesus. But then when we decide to follow Jesus, what does that look like? Obviously, it looks like the things we just talked about. But those are some things in the text that He wants us to do to ensure that we're following Him. But when we get into Christ, and the way we get into Christ is very simple. The Scriptures teach us in Romans chapter 6 as well as Galatians chapter 3. That we're baptized into Christ Jesus. That's how we get into Christ. That's how we put Him on, is in baptism. But now in Christ, what does that mean? Well, it means that we're children of light. You might recall in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 that Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And guess what? Those who follow Him are also the light of light, or light of the world. How so? Well, by reflecting the source. That's how we are the light of the world. We're not the source, but we reflect the source. Kind of like the moon, how it reflects the sun. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul put it this way: when we are in Christ, we are created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul would call us to be imitators of God the Father. You see, when we imitate God, we're reflecting that source. Remember, John the Apostle said that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So if our God is light, and if we walk in light as He is in the light, 1 John 1, 7, then we're reflecting the source. We are a light to this world. But the only way I can maintain that reflection of that source is by obeying Jesus. Look with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Here he's another discourse with the Jews who are questioning Him. He says in John chapter 12 and in verse 36. Look at verse 35. He says, the light is among you for a little while longer. Meaning, He's looking forward to His death. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Or your translation may say, children of light. So how do we become children of light? How is it that our light shines bright in this world? It's by believing in Jesus. But it's not just believing Him and accepting Him, but it's obeying Him. Look with me to the context. Look at verse 44 with me. He says here in verse 44, whoever believes in Me believes not in Me, but in Him who sent Me, talking about God the Father, and whoever sees Me sees Him who sent Me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in Me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears My words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects Me and does not receive My words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So notice this. Not only is it necessary for me to believe in Jesus, to accept the testimony of Himself as well as the testimony of His Father, but I've also got to receive His Word. So whatever He tells me, whatever Jesus tells me, I don't care the consequences of my life. I don't care if I lose my job. I don't care if I lose relationships. Whatever it may be, if Jesus tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. You see, we're making kingdom decisions. We're going to choose to obey Jesus. We're going to choose that whatever we do in our life is going to reflect the source of light. And so I'm not going to only just believe in Him, but I'm going to also receive His words and I'm going to obey His words. He says in verse 47, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them. You see, there are people who do not keep the words of God. We need to make sure that we're not one of them. Look at verse 42 with me. Here's an example of those who would not keep His word. He said, nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in Him. Well, there you go. They believed, right? But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. In John chapter 9, all the Jews are taught, they're told, if you confess the Christ, you are going to be thrown out of the synagogue. You're going to lose your standing. You're going to lose your position. And so here are some authorities who believed in Christ, but they would not confess it. What did Jesus say? If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Were they obeying Him? Were they receiving His word? Were they keeping His word? Absolutely not. Look with me back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You remember, if we're going to be ruled by the authority of God, if we're going to strive to do all things that are pleasing to God, then I've got to obey Jesus' word. In John chapter 8 and in verse 31, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So in verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. In verse 31, he says, whoever abides in my word, you are truly my disciples. So the ones who are set free, and that is free from sin, the enslavement of sin, those who are set free by the truth is because they obey the word. They receive it and they keep it. They hold fast to it. They don't let it go. They maintain their obedience to Jesus Christ. Same thing with John chapter 8 and verse 51. He says here again, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And what he's talking about there is spiritually speaking. We may die in this world, but we're going to be raised to eternal life on the day of resurrection, the day of judgment. So I need to obey Jesus. I need to confess Him. I need to hear and obey His words. That's how I'm going to be a child of light. And tonight we're going to be talking about, we're going to look more into this children of light because the scriptures teach a lot about what the qualities are of the children of light. So I'd invite you back tonight because we're going to talk about what it looks like to be a child of light. What it looks like to reflect the source, which is God, the light. But another thing that we've got to do, if we're going to be the light of the world, is we've got to oppose the darkness. We've got to, the relationship that Christ had to darkness is the relationship that we've got to develop in our life toward darkness. Let's look at the contrast between the two. Look with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 and in verse 19, the Bible says, and this is the judgment, the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You have to ask yourself this morning, do I love light or do I love darkness? Do I get angry when the light exposes the evil works that I've been practicing in my life? Do I get angry with God because His word is exposing my sins? Or do I accept that exposure and do I deal with my sins appropriately and take care of those things because I do love the light and I want to come to the light and I want the light to guide me in this dark world? You see, we've got to oppose the darkness. And when we oppose darkness, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be a spiritual battle or spiritual fight going on. I mean, you see in John chapter 3 that the darkness hates the light. Why do you think Jesus was crucified? Look with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Notice what he says in verse 18. John chapter 15 and verse 18. If the world hates you, and he's talking to his apostles here, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were, notice, of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. What was one of the things we learned in John chapter 8? To follow Jesus is not to belong to this world. And if I don't belong to this world, the world's going to hate me. Why? Because I am the light of the world and I'm exposing the darkness around me. And he says in verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and the Father. The point he's making there, when he says they're guilty of sin now, is because they've seen Jesus. They've seen the Father. They've seen the works that he is doing, and they choose to disbelieve it. And by disbelieving it, now they are in sin. And he says in John chapter 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so here then he says, but the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. Look with me to 17, chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is when Jesus is praying to his Father, and he's praying about his disciples, and he's praying that all the disciples will be united, that the world will know that they are his, that the disciples are his children, that they are followers of God. And he says, I have given them your word, and yet the world has hated them because they are not of this world. Makes me kind of stop and think, you know, if the world doesn't hate me, what is my relationship to the world? I mean, do I really oppose darkness? Do I really hate the things that God hates? And do I become angry with the things that God is angry with? If I'm following God's word, if I'm obeying him in all things, and it's causing me to have to live different from the world, then I'm going to see some opposition. I mean, that's what Jesus is setting up here for his disciples. He's trying to comfort his disciples as best as he can because he understands that what they're going to face. And we see in the book of Acts exactly what they faced. Because they went about preaching the gospel, they were killed, they were in prison, they were stoned to death, they had their possessions taken away from them. We see that over in other countries. Thankfully, we have a free country here where we can speak the name of Christ. But Jesus is preparing the disciples that if you follow me, you're going to face conflict. You're going to face the darkness, and they're going to hate you. And he says in chapter 17 and verse 16, they are not of the world, talking about his disciples, just as I am not of the world. That is why we've got to stand opposed to everything that is dark. We cannot be neutral on sin. We cannot get as close as we want to or as close as we can to sin. We've got to stay away from it. We've got to oppose it at every turn. And there's going to be issues that come from that. But we've got to choose to get rid of the darkness because in Scripture, darkness represents ignorance and guilt and misery and danger and enslavement to sin. And yet Jesus is calling us to be light where there's knowledge and there's purity and there's guidance and there's safety. And all of these blessings that are found in the light, why would you want to be close or even a part of the darkness? So in Christ, we've got to decide, are we going to be children of light or not? And this evening we'll be talking more about that, what that looks like to be children of light. I want us to understand your condition outside of salvation, outside of Christ. What is your condition? It's dark. When the Lord looks at you, it is darkness that He sees. Why don't you be transformed or transferred, so to speak, from that domain of darkness to that domain of light this morning? You can do so by believing in Him, accepting the testimony that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but I don't just believe that He just existed. I don't just believe that He walked the face of the earth. That's not going to save me. What can that do to me? Just to believe that. I need to obey what He says. That's what faith is. It acts on what the promises of God teach us and what His Word teaches us. So act on His Word this morning. But not only believe in Him, but repent of your sins. Confess Him before men that you believe that He is the Son of God, and be baptized in His name, that's in His authority, by His authority, for the forgiveness of your sins. If you'll do that this morning, then you'll become a child of light. And then you need to live faithfully to God forevermore. If you're here this morning and maybe you are a child of God, but you haven't been living faithfully, then your light is not shining bright. And we'll be dealing with that this evening as well. And so if you need to repent of anything, why don't you do so? Together we stand and sing.